Welcome to Native America Calling from Studio 49 in Albuquerque. I'm Monica Brain. Forrest Goodluck is having a good couple of years. The Native actor has a principal role in the film The Miseducation of Cameron Post, about teenagers sent to gay conversion therapy camp. He's also in two television pilots, Citizen on Hulu and Scalped, based on the comic series. And he starts Stanford University in the fall. You might remember him as Hawk in the Academy Award-winning film The Revenant. After the news, we'll talk with Forrest Goodluck, our August Native in the Spotlight. Stay with us.
This is National Native News. I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. A surprising bipartisan momentum is behind a congressional funding bill that stands the best chance in almost a decade of getting passed. Elected officials on both sides of the aisle also say the Interior Appropriations Bill makes significant gains for provisions important to Indian country. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski said the bill provides substantial funding for critical health and education infrastructure.
We do right by Indian country within this bill. Both the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and the Indian Health Service, we have restored the cuts that were proposed of over $1 billion in critical program funding. The bill increases funding for IHS facilities program for construction, maintenance, and sanitation facilities improvements. We hear time after time in Indian Affairs as well as in the Appropriations Committee about the dire situation with so many of our facilities.
Murkowski also said the bill provides the full estimated contract support costs for Indian Health Service. The legislation passed both the House and Senate and is now in conference committee, a step that has not occurred since 2009. On the Democratic side, New Mexico Senator Tom Udall says the bill goes a long way toward fulfilling the U.S. government's trust and treaty responsibilities. But he also warns that the House version of the bill contains what he calls poison pill provisions that will doom final approval if they make it through the conference committee. Among those are language removing the gray wolf from the endangered species list and exempting the livestock industry from greenhouse gas restrictions. No Democrat voted for the House version. The devastating car fire in California may have an unintended benefit for river fish in Oregon. Hoopa Valley Tribal Fisheries Director Mike Orcutt tells the Eureka Times-Standard that emergency operations are prompting officials to release more water than usual from dams upstream on the Klamath and Trinity Rivers. He says water flows from the Lewiston Dam are more than double what they normally are this time of year, which is helping spring-run fish to move more readily. Karuk Tribe Natural Resources Policy Advocate Craig Tucker agreed with Orcutt's assessment but says conditions further upstream, including low flows, trapped nutrients from the dam, and climate change are causing significant algae blooms. The Tulalip Tribes in Washington State is opening a retail recreational cannabis store. The state-of-the-art Remedy Tulalip facility is on reservation land along busy Interstate 5 north of Seattle. The Everett Herald newspaper reports the store intends to tap tribal cannabis sources for their inventory. Business representatives say they plan to employ 70 people and have been recruiting workers for several months. An art exhibit is now on display at Disney World Resort in Florida and features Native artists. Sol Traverso reports.
Creating Tradition, Innovation, and Change in American Indian Art is the title of the new exhibit at the American Heritage Gallery at the Epcot Disney World Resort in Orlando, Florida. The exhibit will have three featured artists, such as fashion designer Lauren Aragon. He says there is similarity between his work and the theme of the exhibit.
And basically, that's what my work showcases, is that I'm reaching back into the past to be inspired by our traditions, our culture, and utilizing that to project it onto a new medium, a new art medium, which is fashion.
Other artists include Ingalik Athabaskan dollmaker Glenda McKay and Assiniboine Sioux dollmaker Juanita Groenthunder. The official Disney Parks blog says the exhibit is made possible through the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and the Smithsonian's National Museum of American Indian in Washington, D.C. For National Native News, I'm Sol Traverso.
A correction to a story we aired Thursday. The Google Doodle of Mary Ross was designed by the company's artists and not by Aragon Starr. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by AARP. At AARP, we create and connect you to unique tools and programs to help you save money and tackle the issues that matter most to you, your family, and your community. What we do might surprise you. More at AARP.org. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. When you were 20, what had you accomplished? For me, I was just starting college and not much else. If you had a role in an Academy Award-winning movie, then you're in good company with actor Forrest Goodluck. The actor played Leonardo DiCaprio's son in the film The Revenant in 2015. Since then, he's been in a couple of TV pilots, short films, and features. In Indian Horse, he plays the lead character Saul as a teenager. Residential schools and hockey are prominent in this film. Out right now in select cities is The Miseducation of Cameron Post. The fictional film follows young people sent to gay conversion therapy camp in Montana. Forrest portrays Adam Red Eagle, who he describes as a sarcastic, pot-smoking Lakota two-spirit teen. The film won the Grand Jury Prize at Sundance. Goodluck isn't just into acting. He's also been behind the camera with a parody of a PBS show called A Modern Indian. And he was also a 2015 Sundance Full Circle Fellow. But he'll be the first to tell you that he is not that important. He starts Stanford in the fall and plans to continue acting. And if you want to connect with Forrest Goodluck, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. He is our native in the spotlight today. Joining us here in the studio is Forrest Goodluck. He's an actor, and he is Dene, Mandan, Hadatsa, and Tsimshian. Welcome back to Native America Calling, Forrest.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you back in the studio. It's been a few years.
It has, yeah.
So let's start with a little bit of your history. When did you know that you wanted to be an actor?
I think it was something that never really, I think, occurred to me. Like, it was such a weird thing, I think. Like, in elementary school, I remember one of my friends and classmates was actually an extra in, I think, that Moon movie with that shot here with, I forget, it was some weird film that was shot here. It was about a man, like, making a spaceship in his farmhouse. And, like, she was an extra in it. And it just seemed like such a weird, foreign thing. It was like, she became like a celebrity in our school because she was this like extra, and she was like, oh, I had a line, but then they cut it, and then, but I'm still in the film, and if you get it, like, you can see it. And it was just like such a crazy thing to be on the screen. And I think as time went on, you know, I got into like acting classes. I started just doing like improv at Soul Acting Academy and doing small theater stuff at Albuquerque Little Theater. And it was crazy, and like, it was just fun for me. I think it was something that was an escape and something that was, you know, just like, it's this space where anything can kind of be possible. Anything that you can conceive of can just, you can create in front of you, and you don't need anything else just besides yourself. And it's just like beautiful little sort of exercises, and it's just all play. And eventually I started auditioning for films through nmfilm.com, where there was open casting calls, and I started going out for stuff like that. The first thing I went out for was a Chris Eyre film that unfortunately hasn't been made. It's called Man Called Buffalo. And through that process of going out for it, I met a woman named Renee Haynes, who's one of the most prominent casting directors of Native people today. And she kept her tabs on me and then eventually just sent me a lot more material, and I got a bunch of parts. They fell through, pretty much all of them, until Revenant. And so I guess that's kind of been my process and journey.
What was the audition for The Revenant like?
It was insane. I think so much of that process is where I learned how to act. The first time I sent in a self-tape, the director really liked it and I guess found some kernel of truth in it, because the second audition I had, they sent my now acting teacher, a woman named Angela Gibbs, to my house, and she like coached me through the process of what this character might be feeling, what he might be thinking, and she just helped me find the character. And I sent in that tape, and then I was flown to LA where I met the director, and I spent the entire time, like an hour, just speaking with him before I even went into the scene. And when I went into the scene, he like told me to just throw away all the words and just say 1, 2, 3 and go through the action of the scene. And like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. And he just wanted this level of truth and this level of authenticity that he could see without even hearing words. And I think that's the beauty of, you know, like I was so fortunate to work with artists like that, because from the get-go, it was never about like this label or this character that you're playing, or like, oh, like you're native or you look native or you have straight hair or you have whatever, so you're this character because you look it. It was like, you know, let's put all that aside. And if your eyes and your whole body isn't telling the truth of the scene, then what you're doing is fake. And if you can say 1, 2, 3 and scream at me and like go through this really intense scene and I believe you, then truth is coming from somewhere deeper. And I think I took that with me since that audition. And it's definitely influenced how I do future roles.
We're talking with actor Forrest Goodluck today. He is our native in the spotlight. And if you have a question for him or a comment, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. So do you have anything that you imagine or goes through your mind when you're getting prepared for a role? Do you have any kind of method?
Yeah, I think every role is so different in that. I think when I like go and like first I try to see who this character is and see what about him is similar to who I am and what about him is very different from what I am. And from there, it's like you just have an array of tools that you can use. And I think every character is so different that along the process, I'm still like learning from the characters, and like whenever I try to use different tools to become them or to feel where they're coming from, you start to realize what works and doesn't work. And then from there, you have to get creative and then try to find what works for you. Like, is that delving into your own past or your own person and pulling up emotions and feelings and times in your life that made you feel similarly, and using that in the scene? And that can be powerful, or it can also be super emotionally draining, where it's like you're going back to this horrible moment in your life and you're just juicing that for the emotion of it. And then the scariest moment is when you're doing that, is like when you come up dry and like you're squeezing that sponge and it's just dry and you have to look somewhere else or somewhere deeper or use something that's completely different. Like, what if this was actually happening to me? And there's just so many tools. And I'm not a classically trained actor. I never like went to acting school per se, rather than just like classes. But I think I've been fortunate enough to like be around people who are so smart and so thoughtful with their process that I've just been able to watch them and basically see what they did and use that for myself. And I think you pick up different tools along the way. And
do you ever like do any kind of research on the internet about the subject of the you know, film that you're doing or anything like that?
Yeah, I think with like The Miseducation of Cameron Post, playing Adam Red Eagle was interesting because, you know, as a native person, I'm Mandan, Haratsa, Tsimshian, and Diné, and I come from this crazy, like, grab bag of native cultures. So I think for me, I'm fortunate because I have this view of, like, what is Alaska Natives like? What are, you know, Plains Indians like? What are, like, you know, Southwest Indians like. And you, at least for me, I've just, every sort of culture is so different and diverse that you can't really fairly draw from your own experience in playing a two-spirit person because the culture is so different. So, and it was something that I think, like, two-spirit people I was aware of, but I wasn't as well-versed in as I would have liked to delve into the role. So I actually met with a two-spirit male who actually just told me his, like, life story and his experience. And I think it's, like, so cool and fortunate to realize, like, in some ways how close and how similar different tribes and Native people can be, and how certain barriers in terms of personality and in terms of culture and in terms of identity are just broken down because you share that. But also there's just so many differences that we each have, and learning from that, it was like so cool.
Yeah, you know, the miseducation of Cameron Post, I mentioned it in the intro, focuses in on gay conversion therapy. And so you play a character that gets sent to this camp. Was there anything in that film that really stood out to you about something like this, like gay conversion therapy?
I think, I don't know. For me, I hate to... It's kind of a weird place to go when you start to look at the repetition of history and how certain events are, in some ways of looking at it, replaying themselves over and over again. Like this skipping needle of prejudice and hate kind of happens. The weird thing is I went from this film, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, which is about these teens going through gay conversion therapy in the 90s. I went from this film straight to the film Indian Horse, like flight from New York to Canada to play the role of a rape victim who was subject to the cruelty of Indian residential schools, which was a system in Canada that was put in place from the late 1800s to about 1996 that stole Indian children from their families and took them to these schools where they tried to assimilate them into Western culture. So, you know, like two of them are very similar, but also very different.
Mm. Well, we want to talk more about that today. Forrest Goodluck is in the studio with us. He is our Native in the Spotlight. And if you have something you'd like to share with Forrest or maybe ask him about his career and his life, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. We'll be right back after this short break. A new law promises some relief for elders raising their grandchildren. It creates a one-stop resource center that connects them to assistance programs and a task force to track progress. We'll discuss the ways the law might benefit Native elders. Join us for the next Native America Calling.
Smoking gave me COPD, which makes it harder and harder for me to breathe. I have a tip for you. If your doctor gives you 5 years to live, spend it talking with your grandchildren. Explain to them that your grandpa's not going to be around anymore to share his wisdom and his love. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I'm running out of time.
COPD makes it harder and harder to breathe and can cause death. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. Actor Forrest Goodluck is our Native in the Spotlight today. If you have something you'd like to ask him or share with him, give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Before the break, we were talking about your film, The Miseducation of Cameron Post, and how you were drawing some connections between that, because they focus on sending kids away to gay conversion therapy camps, and then Indian Horse, which focuses on residential schools in Canada. Anything else you want to share about that?
I don't know. I just think, you know, before we were talking about the repetition of history and kind of the unfortunate effects of that. And I think, you know, dealing with the parallels between the two characters that I played that both went through a camp that I think attempted to assimilate their identity into a culture that wasn't entirely theirs, I think is pretty interesting to draw parallels, I think, between the two films, because there is so much that echoes through that. And I think for me, the most powerful thing that I can do, and that's in my power, is like just tell stories about it. And I think it's so beautiful that, you know, for one, like you can look at such a dark moment in history, such as gay conversion therapy, which still happens, or residential schools, which, you know, have not been, you know, have been stopped, like in very recent history, as recent as 1996, that like the fact that us as disadvantaged and, you know, frankly, hurt people, like we can reclaim those stories and tell them and make them our own.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Michael in Jemez Pueblo tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was excited when I heard the topic and I heard what it was all about, because on August 18th in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where there's a premiere of Indian Horse at Bosque School, and our drum group, Shunkuska, which is sings traditional Lakota, mostly songs, honor songs and such, are slated to do two opening songs, and then at the end of the movie, two closing songs. So I was really excited to hear, you know, that Mr. Goodluck's on. And, you know, back to Two Spirits, I don't know if everybody's seen the movie Little Big Man. It shows Two Spirit in a way back setting with the Cheyenne, and that I think a lot of people got introduced to the Two Spirit world in that respect by watching that movie Little Big Man, because it was an Oscar winning movie.
Michael, thanks so much for giving us a call from Jemez Pueblo. Always great to hear from you. And you can get in on this conversation as well. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. You can talk with Forrest Goodluck. He's our Native in the Spotlight. Forrest, tell us a little bit more about Indian Horse.
Yeah, I think the film Indian Horse kind of chronicles the story of this young man named Saul Indian Horse, who grew up in the old way as an Ojibwe child, and who was taken from his family and assimilated into a residential school where he was abused in an array of ways. And he finally found his way out as a teenager through playing hockey. And so he like goes on this crazy journey where he becomes one of the best hockey players in the country. And he's just battling his inner demons of what has happened to him as a child. And I think the abandonment from his parents and the sort of treatment that he's received and the entire country's racism like up against him. And it's the story of this soul who's, I think, being beaten and battered in all these certain ways, and his eventual healing in the end.
And did you have to learn to skate for
yeah,
this?
Yeah, so for this role, I had the Skype audition with the director, and I went through that whole process, and right at the end of it, I thought I did really well in the audition. You know, like, who's to say? I don't know, but I must have done well because I got the part. But I told him at the end, he asked me, do you know how to skate? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I played in little league hockey, if that's what it's called, like as a kid.
Did you lie?
And I totally lied because I had skated once in my life before. And I bought a pair of skates and I immediately went to the Albuquerque rink up on Tramway and just went every day. And the first thing that I like tried to do was just learn to stop. And I was like, if I can stop, like, I'm good. So I spent 2 weeks like a crazy person going back and forth from these walls, like on the side of the rink, just trying to stop, and finally getting it. And I've been told later, because one of the teachers who was there, who I eventually learned from after I learned just basic skating, was like, yeah, I saw you for weeks, and you were like such an oddball, and I just saw you trying to stop like 100 times, and then after 2 hours you just went home, and I was just wondering who you were and what you were doing, because usually they just get like teenagers like taking selfies on the ice, and like they never just get some random kid like super into trying to learn to skate.
Well, it is the middle of the desert here, so ice skating is not that popular. What was the area where you filmed in Nünhorst? What was it like?
It was really amazing. We shot in Sudbury, Ontario, and Peterborough, Ontario. And the first place we shot at was this abandoned nunnery where the school takes place. So it wasn't a formal residential school, but it kind of, I don't know, I guess once you imprint that story upon a place, it kind of is left a little changed. So it's kind of interesting to shoot there. And the other places we shot in just hockey rinks across Canada. And the hardest part about shooting this is we shot during Little League championships. So it was actually like, it was finding like an hour or two between Little League games to try to shoot on the ice. And it was a complete nightmare, but somehow the scheduling and everything, we finished it off.
Did you ever fall down or have any kind of like...
Oh, it was awful. Like, we actually had to shoot in period skates, so I shot
those old ones.
Yeah, and this film takes place in the 50s, and since you're Indian, you're not getting new skates, so we had to shoot in skates from the 30s. So we had these period skates that were even old for the time period that we were shooting in, that were basically leather flip-flops with knives on the bottom.
Oh wow.
And we had to be able to learn how to skate, like relearn how to skate in the worst skates imaginable, where if you like hit an edge, you'd probably break an ankle. So we were playing in those, and everybody went for it. Everybody was like, no, like, even if it's a close-up shot, I'll take the period skates. And there were moments where we were shooting on ice that they had just hosed down the night before because they knew it would freeze, and there would be, like, just huge chunks of ice sitting around. And there's this one particular shot in the film that's even in the trailer, if you look it up, where the camera... ends at my, or like starts when I just slide into a stop at my feet, and then it pans up quickly to my face, and we're running out of light, and we're trying to get this perfect shot, and every time I'd get it right, the camera would mess up, and every time I would just trip and fall, the camera would be perfect. So we took about like 15 to 20 takes trying to get this shot right, and at one moment before we finally got it, I actually just like skid stopped, hit an edge that was like, because the ice was uneven, and I fell into the director and the cameraman, which is like the director is somebody who, like, he shot Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Like, he's this crazy talented guy. And the cinematographer has shot Little Big Eyes and like Dallas Buyers Club, like two heavy hitters. And I just like fell right into them, and I felt horrible, but it was good. We got the shot.
Well, we're talking with Forrest Goodluck today, and he is our native in the spotlight. And if you have a question for him, maybe you want to know how he feels about being an actor, or maybe you have questions about his life. He's met some pretty famous people. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. That's a question you get quite a bit about, like, you know, hobnobbing with famous people. How do you feel about it?
I mean, I don't know. I think when I was on the set of Revenant, at least, like, most people tell me they would just be so freaked out to work with people like Tom Hardy or people like Leonardo DiCaprio. And for me, I was like shaking around the cinematographer and now that I said it, I can't say it. The cinematographer and director. I was like so nervous around them, because for me, like, I'm, you know, a novice director. And I think being around the people who facilitate and create the piece are the true masters to me. And, being around people like Alejandro Iñárritu and Chivo Lubezki, I was like so nervous around them, and constantly trying to just watch what they were doing and see why their films are on a completely different plane than everybody else. And for me, like, they were the stars of the film. And, you know, Leo and Tom, I think, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody is just like a normal person. I think the nicest thing to learn about people is that they are so flawed, the same as you, and that they're not doing too much differently in terms of creating and just like sharing their art. The only difference is that they're so, I think, not scared to show who they are. And I think that's really beautiful.
Who's your favorite filmmaker?
I'd have to say this is my completely unbiased, unswayed opinion. Probably Alejandro Iñárritu, that's alive today. But in terms of all time, probably Stanley Kubrick.
Why?
I guess because his films are so intelligent. And I think he was the best director in by any means. Like, so many people have just channeled completely different ways of looking at cinema, like, you know, City of God, or films like Y Tu Mama Tambien, or films that just push the, like, even You Were Never Really Here by Lynn Ramsey, like, are films that push the medium in really interesting ways. But for me, Stanley Kubrick is someone who I look up to because the amount of thought and the amount of meticulous process he uses to come up with his art in a very ethical and, I think, moral way. I think there's no other way to go about filmmaking and art and acting in general, like, without really deeply looking at the reasons why you're making your art and the reasons why you're doing something. And he's someone who would take 7 years to build a project about the Holocaust and then completely throw it away because it's just too harsh of a subject, I think, for any one person to grasp. And I think that takes huge amount of courage to admit to yourself that there's even stuff in this world that you can look at as much as you can and that you can never make sense of. And for me, like, someone who's so dedicated to ethics and morality and intellectually looking at art, I look up to that.
Today we're talking with Forrest Goodluck. He is our native in the spotlight. He's got a film coming up. It's out in select cities right now. It's called The Miseducation of Cameron Post. But it'll be out later this month nationwide. And let's go to the phone lines. We've got Claudia in Albuquerque tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Claudia.
Hi. Hi, Forrest.
Hi. How are you doing?
Good. I'm calling. I'm the one who's at the ice ring, if you remember.
Oh, hey. Yeah, you taught me how to skate.
Right. Well, I'm one of them. I'm so proud of you. It's so great to hear you. And I wish you so much luck for the future. And I'm curious to know, what are your plans, or how do you see yourself in a few years from now?
Yeah, thanks so much. Claudia taught me how to, like, she was the one who saw me going
skating back and forth.
And, like, being like, he's a crazy person. But, I don't know. In the next few years, I'm going to school. I'm attending Stanford University. And I'm just looking to get as broad of a education, I think, as possible. I think in terms of filmmaking and acting, the best way to learn about filmmaking and acting is to not learn about it and just learn about, you know, different things like history, other cultures, psychology, philosophy, and, you know, become this moral investigator and really create your foundation from a widespread array of education. I think my parents taught me that at a very young age. And I guess in the next few years, I'm just trying to learn as much as possible and be the stupidest person in the room at Stanford so everybody else can, you know, educate me, and I'll just want to sit back and learn from very smart people. So that's what I'm hoping to do.
Great. That's a wonderful plan. And I look forward to seeing you on screen all
your
life.
Well, we're actually doing a Indian Horse screening on the 16th at Red Nation Film Festival in Santa Fe. So I think there's still tickets available for that. So you'll get to see if you taught me well or not.
Okay.
All right. It's good to hear from you.
Good talking to you, and all the best.
Yeah, you too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Claudia, for giving us a call. And you can give us a call as well. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. So you're starting Stanford just in September. You have one particular thing you'd like to study, or are you going to just take all the classes?
Well, I think it's so, I don't know, I was stressing out so hard about picking classes just recently. And there's like, Stanford has like 10,000 classes and they're all look amazing, which is horrible. So I don't know. I think right now I'm focusing on just taking the most randomly interesting classes I want for the first year. And then I think in sophomore year, starting to look at more of a concise major. Right now I'm thinking about majoring in history just because I think everything kind of boils down to history in a certain way of looking at it. Like, you can look at mathematics and science through the lens of history, or you can look at psychology through the lens of history. You know, like, accounts like In Cold Blood by Truman Capote is, you know, a nonfiction book, but you can take so many truths about psychology from it. Or even philosophy, like, you can look at just, you know, where morality and where ethics have kind of, through history, been created and where it's going.
Yeah, it sounds like you're advocating for a good liberal arts education.
Yeah. Not going to be, like, becoming a CS major in Silicon Valley, probably.
Nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I don't know. Not me.
Well, we're just about to go to a short break, but so you mentioned that the film Indian Horse is going to be playing at the Red Nation Film Festival in Santa Fe on August 16th. And when is Cameron Post coming out? Later this month? Do you happen to know the exact date?
Yeah. Oh, real quick, at the Red Nation Film Festival, myself and my co-star Ajawat Kapashisit are actually going to be in attendance, so you can come and hang out and chill in Santa Fe with us. But Cameron Post is going to be at High Ridge on the 24th of this month.
And that's in Albuquerque for folks who are tuned in who are not in Albuquerque. All right. Well, we are talking with Forrest Goodluck today. He is an actor, and he is starting Stanford in the fall. And he's our native in the spotlight. If you've got a question or a comment for Forrest, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. After the break, we're going to talk with Forrest more about some other films and projects that he worked on, some TV pilots that he shot, and my favorite thing, a zombie film that we hope to see later this year. But we'll be right back.
Support by Freedom Lodge. Imagining an end to generations of suffering, when environmental wellness is a national priority. We bring this dream to light at Body and Earth, the Future of Native Wellness Conference, September 12th through the 15th at Mystic Lake Casino. Honest dialogue, idea sharing, cultural knowledge, and indigenous wisdom provide a forum for this discussion. Registration through September 12th at bodyandearth.org.
Well,
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain sitting in for Tara Gatewood. Forrest Goodluck is our August Native in the Spotlight. You might know him from the Academy Award winning The Revenant. He's sharing with us what he's been up to since then. And let's go to the phone lines. We've got Krista in Rosebud, South Dakota, tuned in. Hey there, Krista. Can you hear us, Krista? Oh, it looks like we got a problem with her phone line. We'll see if we can work on that. Let's go to Tabor in Albuquerque, tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Tabor.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good.
Rosebud, South Dakota. Wow. Oh, Forrest, I just wanted to say I saw The Revenant 3 times here in Albuquerque.
Hey, thanks
and
so much.
It was just intense, man. I love the movie so much. Just the scenery, the whole theme, the acting. And so when I went back up to Seattle, I had to see my physician, and I told him, like, hey, I saw this movie 3 times. He said, there's no way you could see it because of that bear scene.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That was intense.
Crazy film. Yeah. No, I mean, having that bear carcass on set, like, this was crazy. It was just, like, sitting there. And, yeah.
Was it, an animatronic bear that they made?
I don't think I'm at liberty to say how they did the actual bear mauling scene, but after they had a huge model of a bear that was just, like, lying dead on set that they would just move around. But, you know, on the day, like, they dragged it over Leo. And it was crazy. Yeah, that scene still just gets me. Like, it's so real.
Tabor, thanks for giving us a call from Albuquerque, tuned in on KUNM. Let's try Krista again. Hey there, Krista. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
And what would you like to share, Krista?
I have a question for Forrest. I seen the movie. I love it. It's very interesting. My question for him is the scene in the movie when the young boy cut his hair at the boarding school. How did that affect you personally, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, to see that and to witness that and to know that at some point in time in history, our ancestors went through that? How was that for you? Did you feel like you relived it, or how was it for you personally on a personal experience level?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that, or to answer the question about the scene, the little boy who went through that, Sladen Peltier, he cut his real hair for that scene, and he had never cut his hair before, and those were his real tears, and his whole family was there supporting him. They had all talked about it, talked through the scene, and made sure that everything was done respectfully and done for the purpose of telling the story. And I wasn't personally there during the scene, but I felt the echoes and the waves of, I think, what that felt like. And it really is an intense moment reliving history like that. And it brings up a lot of things, I think, for any Native or Indigenous person who knows why your hair connects you to your culture and to this earth. And it was really hard, I think. I actually, in Miseducation of Cameron Post, had my head shaved as well. So I, before shooting Indian Horse, went through that same feeling, and it's a weird feeling to relive your history like that. And I think it raised more questions for me than answers. And it was a really powerful experience. But yeah.
Krista, thank you so much for giving us a call from Rosebud. We appreciate it. And We were talking about that film Indian Horse, that where the kid had his hair cut. Mm-hmm. Is there any, you know, roles that come to you that people want you to consider that, you know, are just too wrapped up in stereotypes and you know, things in the past that you just sort of reject outright?
Yeah. Well, I think the funny thing is, the interesting thing is after Slade and the little kid got his head shaved, he loves his short hair now. Like, he loves to style it up, and, like, he's, like, he be styling, and he's, like, it's so funny. Like, he's a little baller now. But, I don't know, it's interesting, like, to have short hair. Like, I used to try to straighten my hair for roles and try to look the part, and I think, you know, at a certain moment after working on The Revenant, I kind of realized that I don't want to do that anymore, and I'm only going to be a part of projects that are artistic and that have integrity and that hold respect, I think, for the character. For me, it's hard to accept roles that try to pin you as a stereotype or try to turn Indianness into something it's not. And for me, it's never been hard to turn down, you know, less than respectful Western roles or roles that I feel like have integrity but don't have a director or producers or writers that are able to handle such complex issues as Indianness. So for me, I've been so fortunate that, you know, people like Gary Farmer and Wes Studi and so many people and Native actors before me, Michael Gray Eyes, have paved a way to allow me to do the roles that I do. And that wouldn't have been possible without, you know, Native actors in the past putting on a loincloth and, you know, being in films that they might not be proud of today. And, you know, there's something to be said about the importance of that. I think a lot of young Native artists I've heard reject that notion and saying that they won't be a dancing monkey for the crowd. But I think you still have to pay respect to the fact that people went through that so you're able to make the art you can today. And, you know, I'm so fortunate the fact that these people came before me to allow me to play roles like Adam Red Eagle or play a residential school survivor, because we've never seen that on screen told in that way before, like an Indian Horse, or work on the new Jeff Barnaby film where it's like blatantly could be, you know, shaking in the other direction. I think, you know, I'm so fortunate to be the artist I am today.
Yeah, we got to talk about this. Okay, so this film is called Blood Quantum. Jeff Barnaby was on the show many years ago talking about this film, and it's taken a while to get it done. Okay, so not too much spoilers, but the zombie apocalypse and something to do with blood quantum. What's going on?
So, well, I mean, of course, like, as soon as you hear the what this film was about, you'll understand why it was so hard to get funding for it. But basically, it's about a young man named Joseph, who I play, who has a Anglo girlfriend, and we both are trying to not have a child because we are experiencing having a child. And it starts out the film with us in our kind of teenage love. And then we're living on the reservation together, and a zombie outbreak happens. And the only catch is that Native people can't get infected. So it goes on this crazy journey of what happens. Are me and her going to stay together? Or is our kid going to be a zombie? Like, it just is this crazy, wacko, violent, and twisted reality, but it's beautiful. And it delves into, I think, the whole metaphor of what does it mean to be Native, and when is it convenient to call yourself a certain culture or race, and when is it not? And it goes into...
In the apocalypse.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and everybody's going to just, like, enjoy this film. So,
yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. I understand you were also in... they shot a pilot for the series Scalped, which is based on a comic series. What role did you play in that?
Yeah, so in Scalped, I played Joseph, a kid named Joseph as well. And that was a really beautiful show. It was headed by a man named Doug Young, who was the writer and producer, and he just had a singular vision to try to create this reality for very talented Indian actors just to play, and that's what we got to do. I think it's unfortunate the show didn't go through. I think we finished the pilot and the show was good enough to go through. It's just that the company that was going to turn it into a show fell through, and so unfortunately it didn't get made. But I got to meet actors like Lily Gladstone, Gil Birmingham, Zahn McLaren, William Bellow, like really amazing Indian working actors. And you know, that as an experience was a short one, but it was something that I really hold close, because those relationships I've held close, and it was a really special project.
Some people criticized the project because the comic series is not created by a Native person. Did you consider it when you considered, you know, shooting this pilot, or did you read through the comic series? And I should say we've had folks on both sides, Native folks on both sides on the show talking about whether or not they liked Scalp or didn't like Scalp.
Yeah, I think for me, whenever I choose a role, it's very much in line with, like, if my character and the principles that I'm going to bring to the table I agree with. And for me, Joseph is a young man who's growing up on the res and feels this urge to find a different life by leaving the reservation, but also finding the importance of staying there. I think this split and duality is something that a lot of young Native people feel, regardless of whether they're living urbanly or they're living on the reservation. There's this magnetic tug in either direction of your identity, and I wanted to portray that because it's something that I feel, and I agreed with that. And so, and like that, as well as the casting director of the project, Renee Haynes, like, she's never steered me wrong on a project. So I definitely like took her word for it and took the project what it was, because I think it's so cool to see, you know, for one, I think Indians on the screen is powerful in any respect, but also showing us as completely like not at the mercy of other sort of poles of society, and having a world that's created where we are self-sustaining and we are dark and we are awful to each other sometimes, but we're also really amazing to each other sometimes, and showing that whole reality versus trying to just pinpoint one aspect of the Native life and Native reality, that I think it would be a really important show because it would show that.
So there's no word on if maybe another network might pick it up, or?
I'm not sure at this point, but that would be amazing.
And what else do you have on the horizon other than starting Sanford?
Right now, we're going to be finishing shooting Blood Quantum. We have a few more shoot days. And from what I've heard, you know, Jeff Barnaby, like, he has this whole singular vision for a film. So the film up until now is, like, all put together. He just needs these last puzzle pieces to make his vision come true. I recently finished directing a short film, and so we're going to be looking at where the screening options for that is going to be. Me and my friend Kiowa Gordon, who's actually a Native actor. I'm wearing his shirt, by the way, if he's listening. But he's in the film.
What was the film about?
The film dealt with the reality of a Navajo veteran and just kind of a day in the life of what he deals with. And we shot the film on Super 8 to try to...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a terrible decision. But it kind of created this...
For the younger people in the audience, Super 8 is actual physical film, right?
Yeah, so instead of actually, like, what you have your idea of, like, 35 millimeter film in your head, like, cut that into a fifth of that size. So imagine trying to fit an image onto, like... I don't even know what I could compare that to.
Like less than the size of a stick of gum.
Sure. Like the fourth of a stamp. Like, yeah. Put an image on that and your whole film's on that. So, we shot the film on that because it's just this beautifully colorful but also grainy reality, which I chose to try to represent what, you know, depression and anxiety can feel like sometimes. And I think there's that haziness that lens kind of has of a person who's suffering with that. So the film follows this young man trying to kind of cope with his horrible reality. And I think in the end, he looks into his past and into his culture and into the, you know, I think the younger generations to try to find hope in the world that he's existing in.
Hmm. What advice do you have for someone who's young natives who want to get into acting?
I guess that it's possible that I think there's so many people who are a part of this community and not part of this community who will tell you that it's going to be harder for you. And I think that may be true, but I think you need to realize that there's people that are doing it and there's people who are going to support you. And there are people who are so happy that you're making your art and making your voice heard. And the very act of your creation of art is one, a rebellion, but two, an inspiration to every other person who's been told that their art is not valid or that their art is less than. And I think that just the very act of creating and self-exploring and creating like just your art that's authentic to you is the most powerful statement that I think as a young Native person you can make, because we have a unique perspective that nobody else has in the world, and you hold that, and there's a power in that.
Well, Forrest, how do you balance your life, you know, just a regular life, and with this career in acting?
Not well. it's tough. I mean,
you're pretty busy.
It's not that I'm busy. It's like, it's crazy. I think sometimes, I think you're in your head a lot and you try to, you know, balance like family and work and everything, but it's been great so far. And it's been like just doing stuff like this makes it meaningful, and it's been good.
Well, unfortunately, that'll do it for our conversation today with Forrest Goodluck. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
We're back next week with another batch of great shows. On Monday, we're talking about grandparents raising their grandkids. Tuesday, we'll be examining voting rights in San Juan County, Utah. Wednesday, we're looking at indigenous language dictionaries. On Thursday, we're talking with young adult fiction writers. And Friday, we're coming at you live from Indian Market. Our executive producer is Art Hughes. Our host is Tara Gatewood. Our associate producer is Andy Murphy. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Sol Traverso is our intern. Antonia Gonzalez is the anchor and producer of National Native News. I'm senior producer Monica Brain. Have a good weekend.
Supported by Volunteers of America, a premier substance use treatment provider offering a White Bison certified Wellbriety program within their residential Native American treatment services. Applications and more at voanr.org. Support by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
How mitaki epiki? Oma katrecha waste yuhapo. Wakaja kiwichoza wapi, iwicha kichupo. Medicaid na chip, naku shichola, nish giuchonala opretro okihipelo. Lil mas apkayo, 1-800-318-2596, nish lil yayo, healthcare.gov. Lewotchaniki, Medicare na Medicaid otieta hielo. Mitakuye oyas in.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.